Interviewers are Amelia Hope and
Chris Hopkins.
And we are interviewing on the 26th of November 2025 in Whitney and District Museum. And we are interviewing
Fraser Lugg. I've been retired now coming up 3 years, but spent a long time working at Abbott Diabetes Care in Whitney.
Lovely. Right. So, Fraser, could you tell us why you moved to Whitney and what sort of attracted you to living here?
Yeah, it was work, like many people. I'm a scientist to trade, a PhD biochemist, started in Glasgow in the health service and universities. And my role was, for my PhD, was to develop new tests and implement them into the health service laboratory. A lot of changes came in the health service around about that time. So I moved to a company that did similar things, and I joined Abbott Diagnostics in Germany. Mm. So I worked in Germany for a while, again, in development and various technologies, all to do with diagnostic testing for patient care. I then moved to Germany, from Germany, I moved to the US for a while, and then spent a long tour of duty in Ireland, in the west coast of Ireland. Abbott has many factories in Ireland. When we went in the early, it would be 90s, it was a very small operation. But when I came back to Whitney, which would be in about 2006, 2007, Abbott in Ireland had three major factories, about 2,500, 3,000 employees, all again in either pharmaceuticals or in diagnostic technology. So what brought me here was the presence of the Abbott site, Abbott Diabetes Care.
Lovely. So I suppose you sort of touched on this, but what led you to a career in Abbott's?
It was my background in developing diagnostics tests and applying them to patient care. And what happened, like most technologies, you start off developing tests, and then you developed all the tests that are needed. It's now a question of how you do the tests efficiently. And Abbott was the leader at that time in automation of diagnostic tests. Health service laboratories and the NHS, etc., they're short of people, they're short of time, they're short of money. So Abbott, other companies as well, but Abbott in particular, came with these machines that would take the same materials as we did the tests with, and they would do many, many tests per hour. So I joined Abbott in Germany and then followed them to US and Ireland. They're all in the same general area of test development.
Oh, wow, lovely.
What part of the US did you go to?
Chicago.
It was the headquarters? Or?
Yeah, there's a place called Abbott Park. It's got its own postcode. It's a massive place at that time. It was centred in Chicago. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Nice town, by the way.
Windy City.
But much better for shopping than New York, but don't put that on.
I suppose, what major changes or advancements did you experience while you were working at Abbott?
Oh, wow. That's a big question. Yeah, I suppose several themes in that. One would be the size of the automation. Abbott started off with kind of a desktop size, and the technician would come and put the patient's blood on, and then the machine would do that test. Then you go to a much bigger machine where you just load all the samples in one end and the machine decides what testing to be done. And then if you expand that further, you go to the very big laboratories. Now, if you remember all the small hospital laboratories shut and it's a large laboratory, then you'd have whole rooms of machines all linked up. You would put the sample on one end and it would go right round all the different stations and get the test done, such that a big hospital lab would do, as I said, many, many thousands of samples in one day. So that's the automation side. Abbott is also a very innovative company, and if you look at the Whitney site, it's developed from, everybody knows the strip tests.
Yeah.
You know, you do the blood. Well, that's still done there, but they've now developed on-body monitoring with the patches. So that's the next development. You don't take blood samples. You just get it straight from your arm, and you can just put your phone up to it, and it will give you the result and your past results. And then if you take it one step further, which is what Abbott is doing, and also other companies, you then hook that up to the insulin pump. So you're no longer just taking a result on your finger and then deciding whether you're going to have an apple or a lardy cake or whatever. The insulin loop manages your glucose.
So
it's
life-changing for these people.
It's life-changing, particularly for the parents of children and adolescents. Nighttime hypoglycemia is a nightmare for parents. They sit up all night just trying to watch after the children, whereas this sort of system takes care of it. So that's the kind of development that's gone on. But Abbott has a massive innovation technology and stents. It's hard to remember all the things they have, but they are tremendously innovative, and they've taken that concept of diagnostic testing and made it more applicable to real-time situations.
Do you think AI will have an impact in the future as well?
Yeah, AI is an interesting development. You've seen all the publication about don't trust AI, etc. It gets things wrong. If you do your own profile on AI, do it three times a day, it'll give you a different profile each time. There'll be a core of things that are correct, but there are other things that are not quite so correct. But where AI is most applicable and has a lot of potential is in things like reading x-rays, reading scans. The AI can be taught by expert radiologists, etc., and you can now load up your scan and AI will read it. And if you take other companies like Siemens, there's also a Siemens factory here. I also work for Siemens. They've got the concept of your digital twin. You know, the idea there is that when you're well or when you're young, you would get complete scans and diagnosis. And then when you get a test result, at the moment you get a test result, you're compared to the normal population, which is different for everybody. And what they want to do is build the database that you would be tested against your previous self. So you would get much more precise results. It's called precision medicine, things like that. But all these companies are working on it, Abbott as well. Fascinating field to be in.
Absolutely.
That's amazing.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Mm.
Wow. Is there any sort of specific memories about working for Abbott's, like maybe a specific event that was sort of momentous in your career?
We've done several events at Abbott which were to do with the factory's 10 years old or 20 years old, etc., and these were big community events. Abbott's also very much involved with the local community. They sponsor the Christmas lights. They're very much involved in the
fastest mile in the London Marathon, weren't they?
The big sponsors of the Whitney Carnival. I just couldn't remember the name of that. Abbott, because of the connection with diabetes, etc., they've always had a big presence in road running and races. And they have teams who join marathons, they've done a London Marathon, etc. World Diabetes Day is always big here, and it was a big community event.
Do you actually have any copyrights from your time at
Patents?
Patents.
Not so much patents for me. I've got maybe 100 scientific papers, but not specific to Abbott.
No,
just as whatever. And because of my work in the development of tests and diagnostics in general. I was actually made an honorary professor at Cardiff University for a while. So I've been very lucky in that I've been able to keep my business life with working with Abbott's in particular, Siemens also, etc. But also kept research interests. So I've kind of had the best of both worlds.
And where did you do your PhD then?
Glasgow.
Oh, in Glasgow.
Yeah, it was Glasgow University, and yeah, and did my first degree in biochemistry and my PhD in medical biochemistry. Yeah.
I suppose thinking kind of more broadly about living in Witney, like how do you feel about kind of your local community, and how do you feel like that's sort of changed since you first moved here?
Yeah, it's a very interesting question. I was the managing director of the Abbott site, and I've worked with Siemens, but more in the North Wales sites. But in each of these jobs, I've had other sites to look after. And in Abbott, it would be Donegal in Ireland, plus some other work in the headquarters, and also some connections in San Francisco. So I travelled a lot in all my jobs. I was telling some of my colleagues, I have 1 million air miles not used. So that's left over. But that shows you how much you travelled, because those were different times. We would think nothing of flying to LA on a Monday and back on a Thursday, which these days
yeah,
we
no
could.
Zoom then, I guess.
Well, the Zoom's much better.
Yeah.
Yeah, but in those days, face-to-face meetings were everything, and everybody was in the office every day. But with that amount of travel, I really didn't get to know Witney too well. I knew Witney through the workforce. Yeah, and one of the things that I think that is really important about companies like Abbott and Siemens, in any factory, you have jobs for all levels. You have the starter jobs, the production jobs, you have the massive jobs for scientists, etc., and you have your professional finance jobs, HR jobs, etc. So in one enterprise, you have jobs for almost all levels and all stages of life. And you know, one of the things that was really good in these places was to see young people coming in, and they'll always be out, and you're worried if they're coming on a Monday morning, and in the canteen they want big meals because they ain't cooking anywhere else. And then you see these people pairing up, and they start to get together, and they buy their house, etc., and then they want healthy meals at lunchtime. All this is different. So you follow people through all the stages of their life, and then if you're lucky, you see the ones retiring and the ones coming in. And also, parents can send the child to university, and one of the things that's difficult about sending your child to university is they're gone, and are they coming back? But companies like Abbott provide that framework of the scientist can come back, the finance guy can come back, etc., and have good careers.
I think you mentioned about how what the similarities between perhaps the more modern Abbots and what weaving possibly would have been, you know, 200 or 300 years ago.
I see it as the same thing. It would be all levels. You'd have your manual workers, you'd have the skilled weavers and all the different trades of them. And it would be the same thing. People would come in and they'd spend their lives in the factory.
Would spend their lives,
yeah,
they?
And they would move up through that. Yeah, so it's so very similar, and it's a bit tenuous, but if you think the reason for the mills being here was the power source, it was the water. Yes. Well, the reason for the tech companies being here is the power source from Oxford.
Yeah, of course.
These were all spin-outs from Oxford. So you get these clusters, but they're based on sources of energy or momentum, either the water, and it would mean proximity of the wool and everything else. And for Abbott, it would be the spin out from Oxford, and then highly educated people at all levels. And that's what keeps the companies here. Yeah.
And I wonder about other high-tech companies that could be coming in as well on the back of that, I suppose, as we mentioned, Longford.
Well, you've got Abbott comes, and then they need suppliers of plastics and tubes and stuff. So you've got the engineering excellence comes through, and Owen Mumford comes up and comes and becomes a big player, not just for the supplying the locals, but they become worldwide players in medical diagnostics. The Siemens factory in Ainsham was again a spin out of magnets from Oxford. And it used to be called Oxford Magnet Technology. And the big magnets are used for the scanners. I don't know if you knew that. It's for the
MRI.
Is it? The
yeah. And they've developed amazingly there. And now one of the big things about MRI scanners is they need liquid oxygen to keep them cool. And that's a pain. Now they're developing cool technology that you don't need that. So it's the same thing. You come in because of the source materials and why you're close to it, and then things develop from there.
I think that's been fantastic, Fraser. I appreciate it.
Yeah, that's been really interesting.
Are you sure? Yeah?
Yeah, I think that's been amazing, and really appreciate you coming down.
Not at all.
That was wonderful.
Excellent.
Thank you so much.
Oh, great. If you have any other questions, just...
I think we touched on everything we wanted to.
Covered everything, yeah.
But I mean, just in terms of Whitney itself, it has really developed. I mean, the speed that Whitney's grown at is quite amazing.
And I think the future as well. I think where they're planning, I think 18,000 houses until 2050 or something like that.
I think that's the danger.
Yes.
But when we came, Whitney Town Centre was quite big relative to the outskirts, at least as far as I knew it. But the number of schemes that are now round about and what resources are in the centre.
But I think the other thing I find is, say, the weekends or during the week, you know, the footfall coming through Whitney is quite high in a sense. You see a lot of people walking in there. And then, of course, you talk to people. Well, I come here from villages outside because we've got 3 hours free parking. We've got Sainsbury's, you've got two shopping malls within walking distance of each other. We've got a gazillion coffee shops. So, you know, you can do pretty much everything around here and then go home. Sort of thing. And they say that's a real attraction. I mean, Abingdon has probably gone down a bit because of obviously, you know, the Tesco's on the outskirts of town.
That's right. And Abingdon doesn't feel as safe. Whitney feels a safe place. If you come in at the weekend, people are walking about, as you say, and the free parking is a big draw for people.
And I think the council have decided that's a big draw. They're going to stick with that.
And you know, from my point of view, I don't drive, I get the bus in every day from Oxford.
And
the bus routes are fabulous.
And the buses seem to be getting better, which is good.
Yeah, they're really regular and they're reliable.
You can get to most places from here. It's like a central
point. It's a good hub.
Yeah, it is.
Good hub, yeah.